We are at a time of year where we have one of the greatest stories of all time to tell. And as we jump in today, I want to ask a newer friend of mine that I've gotten to meet, and she makes me laugh. She's funny, and I want to ask her if she would come up, and she's going to help me out this morning to kick us off and get us going. So, gentlemen, would you come on up here and probably just have you use this mic right here.
Yes. Awesome. It's all good. It's all good.
So here's what we're going to do. We've got a couple different things we're going to get us going today. I want to ask you, and it's kind of the teaser, right? So I want to see if we share a couple of lines from movies, if you can guess what Christmas movie it's from. You ready? All right. So if you're online with us today, do me a favor, type it in the comments and let us know what you think that movie clip is. All right. All right. Here we go. You're it.
Santa, oh my gosh, I know him.
Yes.
Oh, all right, you ready? Go.
Does someone need a hug?
Oh, we needed somebody. Is anybody dressed like a raccoon this morning that can just come right up and do it? That was awesome. Do you got one more, or are you good?
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Yes, well done. Come on, give me some. I love it. All right, you're good. You're good. I know she's like, this is not my favorite thing to do, but I'll do it. That's awesome. Thank you so much, because that just means more than you know to do that. I love it. So with that, kind of got you laughing. Let me take a moment, ask our ushers if they would to come forward this morning. As part of our worship is the honor to be able to give a portion of what God's already given to us back to Him as an act of worship. And so we want to do that today. I would ask if our ushers would come on forward. Is this microphone cutting in and out? No? Okay, it's just me. My ear is cutting in and out, apparently. Gotta love getting older. Father, I ask that what we bring into the storehouse today, you would take and multiply that in ways we don't even understand, but please use it for your glory to extend your kingdom, to help men and women and children around the world to hear and learn and be excited about the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So please anoint it today for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. The dead space always makes the ushers feel excited, because it's like, oh, they're looking at me now. All right, as they're finishing that up, I want you to check out this quick little video clip that a couple kids in our church did for the Christmas holiday. And so would you watch this? No sound there. We are, yeah. This is always a good place for a joke. Like, you just need something. No, they're like, no, please don't. Don't do it. They just get worse the more you do it, so please don't. So let them work on that for a second. So who else has got some movie? Let me give a clip from a Christmas movie, clean version, that see if other folks around can guess. You don't have to say clean version, but you kind of have to, right? But see, who's got one of their favorite movie lines from a Christmas movie? See if we can figure out what it is. Somebody wants to do that? I know some of these younger guys have got. Yes. All right. She says C plus. All right. Somebody else got another one in the back? An angel gets its wings. It's a wonderful life. Awesome. Very good. Somebody else got another one? Santa Claus. Yes. Nice. Yes. Took me a second until you said, I got yes. That's right. All right. Anybody else? One last one, real quick. Oh my gosh. I got to tell you, this is hilarious. So this week, And so this week, at work, so I'm walking down the hall in the room right next to the office. They shampooed the carpet, and the person put a sign on the door there that said, you know, like, please stay off the carpet, it's wet. And so the first time I walk out and I see that, that's exactly what pops into my head. I look over and I go, why is the carpet all wet, Todd? In my head, you know, because if you say it, you got to respond. I don't know, Margot. You know, I just couldn't get away from it. Hey, do we have any sound on that this morning, maybe? We'll come back to it because you got to hear it. If they don't, give it a shot. See if you've... They'll get to it eventually. Hopefully, we'll be able to show that to you before we kind of wrap up today. But, we love telling those clips from movies. It's a lot of fun, and we just laugh and have a good time with it. And telling clips from stories is part of how we tell stories, isn't it? Part of how I tell you about a movie, I tell you a line from the movie, kind of gives you a little tidbit of that. We're people who love stories. And so let me start with a story. One you probably know. In fact, it's a story we heard during the Advent season. And so it's a story of shepherds being out in the fields at night. And while they're out in the fields, you can imagine they're watching sheep that they've been hired to watch, more than likely. And they're out in the field. There's this bright light that shines all around them. And an angel appears out of nowhere. And how crazy would that be? All of a sudden, like, freak you out. And there they are, and the angel tells them that this child has been born, and here's how it happened. And it's just an amazing story. You know, it's out of the blue, out of nowhere, right? For those shepherds, they are standing or sitting in that moment, and it's like it would have felt like a near-death experience that would have scared them to death, right? Pardon the pun that we use. And there they find themselves after hearing this message. They have this heavenly army shows up, and I don't even know what that's going to have looked like in that moment, but it must have been tremendous. And this heavenly army is just praising God all around them. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to whom God's favor rests. And it's just this tremendous otherworldly experience that they're having right there in the middle of the night. And so, as any person would probably do, it's like, that scared me to death. Hey, let's go check it out, right? But that's exactly what they do, right? So let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has been told to us. So they go to Bethlehem and they find Mary and Joseph and Jesus, and they spend some time there. I don't know how long they're there, but they're taking it all in. And then, you know, they're like, we got to go tell some people. This is amazing. And so they said, let's go into the town and let's go tell some people what had happened, what we saw, what we heard. And so that's exactly what they do. And their story is so incredible to them that when they go back to work, because you know work's always waiting. Sorry to ruin your Christmas holiday. But as they go back to work, it has impacted them so much that they go back praising God and giving glory to God for the whole experience that they had just had and what they had heard and what they saw and how it had all been fulfilled, and that they got to be a part of that, a people group in society of that day that was the very last people that would have deserved, if you will, according to social order, to have heard and received that message. But they're the ones who were told and got to see it, the miracle, and they're pumped, so excited, about as pumped as I was when Jenilyn agreed to come up and do the lines from the movie today. I got to tell you, I was just beaming from ear to ear because, like, this is going to be amazing. That part of the nativity story is a clip of a larger story. It's a story we call the Bible story, right, or the salvation story. It's God's divine work in the world to take what was broken and to restore it. We all have stories to tell, don't we? You have stories you could tell? Absolutely. Some of you have some funny stories, and some of you have some not so funny stories. And we like telling the funny stories because they're easier to tell, and we like to make people laugh. Typically, we just don't want them maybe laughing at us. They sure laugh with us. But those are the easier stories to tell, aren't they? Of course. But we've also got those stories that we may not feel like we really want to tell or that they're worth telling. Because honestly, if we think about that story, it takes us back to a place that may be a point of regret, a time where we felt shame, we felt guilty over something, maybe sorrowful. Maybe it's such a sad story in our lives that we don't really want to go back to that place. Maybe it was embarrassing. Anybody have any embarrassing stories? You don't have to tell them, you know, right here. Maybe it's a story that we're afraid to tell because if we tell it, they might judge us or they might think of us in a different light. Or they might not talk to us the same way anymore. And we really don't want things to change. So we just feel like it's easier if we don't tell the story. Everyone has, as the old song says, everyone has a story to tell. I like telling the funnier stories because I like for people to laugh. But I understand the power in the tougher stories because those tougher stories tend to come with baggage. You know what I'm saying? And the thing about it is that the baggage is where God tends to do some of the greatest work in our lives. And it's those stories that are hard that need to get told so that the work that God does gets told. And it's not about our hardship, the hardness of times that we go through. It's about what God did in us in our hardship. It's all about a word called restoration. How many of you have watched like HGTV or any of those shows on, what is it, Discovery Plus now or something like that, you know, whatever. But, you know, does it amaze you? It amazes me the number of people that love to see houses restored. See people take furniture that's broken down and looks just rugged. And they'll turn it around and they get done with it. And it looks like a brand new piece of furniture. Like, where did that come from? Oh, it's the same old thing. What'd you do? I restored it. I repaired it. I took what was broken, and people looked at it and thought it was of no value, and I worked on it, and now people would be willing to pay good money for that, potentially. Or it's priceless to me because maybe it was your grandparents, and you restored it, and now you have it, and you go, I wouldn't trade that thing for the world. It's beautiful. I had a lady come into my office this week. Totally surprised me. Wasn't scheduled or anything. And when I looked at her face, I could tell that there was a lot of pain resting right there. And so I was like, hey, my door's open, you know, come on in. And so she did. And she began to talk and started asking questions. And she was sharing. And we had a conversation for about an hour that honestly started out pretty distressed, sense of hopeless. Sadness, sorrow, grasping for a sense of hope, but not really knowing where to grasp a hold of, but knowing that there has to be something more than the brokenness of where I'm at right now. And so we just took that moment, and of course, you know, she's sharing, and so I'm trying to offer pastoral counsel back the best that I can. And, you know, as that's sort of happening, I think back to that now, and I watched. I didn't really recognize it at the time, but as I look back now, I got the opportunity to watch a change happen. It was a change of going from hopeless, dark brokenness to it's not all fixed, but I feel like there is light where there just felt like there was darkness. And I feel like there's a glimmer of hope where I didn't even know what to do to even have a sense of hope. And the person that walked in with tears in their eyes still had moist eyes when, you know, they left. But there was a smile. And you know what it's like to hold your, kind of hold your posture. You notice how your posture is different when you're happy than it is when you're sad? You ever notice that? And how you carry yourself, and you can see somebody, and you can sort of, by the way they carry themselves, you can tell that they're sad, sorrowful, just sort of kind of that down, right? And yet when you're happy and you tend to be more, a little bit more uplifted, as long as your back lets you stretch all the way up, then that was funny. Come on, y'all. That's my story anyways. But I saw that as she was walking out, and the thing was, it wasn't about me. And I don't, please don't hear the story because it points to me, not at all. I always talk about, you know, you got to tell the stories out of your own experiences that point to Jesus. And that's what I just want to share with you. That moment for me, as I watched it come to an end, I was excited about what's going to come down the road. Because when this person left, she had a ray of hope, but she also had a plan. A plan for how to heal. A plan for how to experience restoration. That yes, it was going to be found in Jesus. So if you want full restorative healing by God, you have to know Jesus Christ. There's no other way around it. Healing is ultimately through Christ. And so we crossed that bridge. But then we also said, if you're going to really work towards changing the circumstances, we have to have a plan for how to move forward. Because if you keep doing what you've always done, you know the saying? You'll get what you've always got. So there has to be a change. And this person said, yeah, that is right. It's amazing the power of God to work in a dark moment to bring light when he brings light. It's amazing to watch God work in a moment that seems full of despair, but yet he speaks a word of hope into that moment. It's tremendous. It's not me. It's not a person. It's about the Spirit of God working in a moment when two people are acknowledging the fact that the path to healing and hope and restoration, a transformation, a renewal, is not going to be found in the strength of man, but in the divine power of God. That ultimately that's where it will be experienced. We're going to use all the other parts, but it's ultimately going to come from God. And that'll be the greatest gift that he's going to give you, is that restoration. But we need to take that journey. And if you're willing to do it, I'm willing to do it with you. And that was kind of how we left that time together in the morning this week. And then I was working on my sermon, like a good little pastor. And in that moment, as I was working on it, I thought, it just kind of hit me. I thought, you know what? She's kind of like the townspeople in the shepherd's story. Because the people sitting in darkness heard of a great light. You get it? Oh, man, I like that. There's truth to that. There's a lot of people who are broken all around you. You probably know some. I'm finding that people are, in general, people are wanting to know that there is more to life than the brokenness that smacks them in the face day in and day out. That there's some, that their heart longs, their mind, the depth of their soul longs to know that when I get up today or tomorrow morning, or I look back on my what's coming ahead or my life, that there truly is something more to all of this than just brokenness and pain and tragedy and conflict and war and famine and all of the evil. There's something, there's got to be something more. Because this is not cutting it. People want to hear stories that assures them that there's more. You know where they hear those stories? I know you do. From you and from me. I want to tell you, it's in two ways. Number one, I'm so excited. Oh, it's the, well, we'll end the year and then if we'll begin the year the same way. So let's end the year at the cross. Oh, that'll preach right there. I like it. Might as well. We said it. Might as well do it. So we have this cross in our sanctuary, and I love that we have this here. And it's a wonderful story of God seeing the brokenness of the world and saying, "You're not done. I have plans for you. I have a bright future in store for you. I have hope where you think there is no hope. You see a roadblock, I just see an open road, right? You just see short term, I see the long term. You see being distanced from me, I see drawing you close to me." That's the power of salvation. We have the opportunity to tell that story that talks about the power of God to intervene in the darkness and the hardship to bring light and hope. That's the heartbeat of that story, of why God did what he did through Jesus Christ. That is one of the greatest stories that you and I can ever tell in the world. But what's also good is that that story, when you're a follower of Jesus, becomes your story. And when that's your story, it also means that God is doing that same kind of work in you. He's doing the restoration. He's taken a train that is broke down, doesn't run well, squeaks, right? And he takes it and he works on it. And he puts it on the track and he gets it going. And before you know it, what wasn't working, all of a sudden, brings a smile to your face because it's working in a way that you didn't think it was going to be able to do. That's the kind of restoration that God does in our lives because of Jesus. So I imagine that you have stories to tell where you looked at it and you didn't see that there was a way really with hope and a light, that God intervened and lo and behold, there was a way. And where you saw addiction and didn't see ability to overcome that, over time, God enabled you and healed you so that you could walk in victory over it day in and day out. And you have that story to tell. And it's not a story to say, "I was strong enough and I finally overcame it." It's like, no, the grace of God empowered you to overcome by the power of the cross and the empty grave, a stronghold and evil in your life that you tried to, but you couldn't. But when God intervened, he made the impossible possible. Merry Christmas. Like, that's the story that you and I in our own lives, whatever those kind of restoration stories are, we get the opportunity to tell that. Because when you tell those stories and you talk about Jesus in your story, you're really pointing to that same message that is the message of the cross. God took brokenness and brought healing through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Happy Easter. Well, we'll just stick with Christmas. That'll come close enough. So what are you going to talk about in 2022? You're going to talk about COVID. You're going to talk about politics. You're going to talk about the weather. You're going to talk about football. You're going to talk about that. What are you going to talk about? Talk about all those things. That's cool. That's a lot of fun. But can I encourage you? Can you talk about Jesus a little more in 22? Talk about Jesus a little bit more. Talk about your stories a little bit more. Well, I don't want to talk about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus in you. Talk about the Jesus in you, and God will get the glory, not you. Just point people to Jesus. Make him the subject of your story, and you're part of that story. Because that's really the same thing with the cross, right? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And now you're part of that story through your salvation experience in Christ. That for me, I believe in a story-driven culture. This is one of the most powerful ways that we can share the good news of Jesus, is to tell our stories. It's not to get away from the truth of salvation, right? God loves us. We're born in sin. We need redemption. He came. He saves us, right? I mean, you can tell the salvation. Yeah, that's great. Do that. But people really want to know that, hey, if you were broken and you found restoration and healing, maybe I could find that too. You say, well, how do you know that's the case? Folks, we live in a storytelling culture, right? in a TikTok, YouTube, Netflix, video game, digital media, storytelling culture. People want stories. They listen to stories. They think about stories. They'll be challenged by a story in a way that a direct statement wouldn't do. They'll contemplate on it. It'll pop back in their head, and they'll think through it. That's why Jesus, I think, partly not just today, but always has, is what did he do? He told stories. He would tell parables. He would tell illustrations, anecdotes, because he knows that people would think about those things. And it'll challenge people to reflect on it, or contemplate about what's right and what's wrong. That's popular culture. So my question to us today as we end out 2021 is simply, folks, in our popular culture, we know that people like to tell and hear stories. And we have the greatest story ever told in the good news of Jesus Christ. Tell that story. Tell the story. Help people understand how that story has changed your life in very practical ways. How have you become better today than you were before? Where do you have light in your life where there was once darkness? Where do you have victory where you once just saw defeat? Where has guilt and shame been removed from your life where it used to take up residence? How has God worked in you, and what does that mean to you now? Know those stories so you can tell those stories. I believe that's one of the great gifts that we can give the world, is to tell our stories and point to the Jesus in our story. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Because the Holy Spirit's drawing people to God. We just get to be a voice that echoes the truth of Jesus being alive and how he's changing our lives for the good, because he loves us. God is working for the good of those he loves. He wants your good. He's already been working. Just go tell those stories. Amen. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to just be reminded in the Christmas story that we do have some great stories to tell, and some are fun and some not. So, Holy Spirit, help us to be able to tell the maybe not so fun stories that point people to Jesus and the work that he's been doing in our lives. We know that you've brought us a long way through this last year, and of course the years before. And we know this journey that we're going through as a community with COVID and so on is not over, but we are where we are, and you have always been with us. So today I ask that your Spirit would give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to face what we're facing, and to be able to tell our stories. They'll point people to Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. God, help us for your glory. Amen.